Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, good evening. This is Labors for Christ, Spiritual Growth and Development. This is our midweek praise, prayer, and Bible study. We are glad that you have joined us this week. We pray that all is well. We are encouraged by your presence and your participation in Blog Talk Radio. We ask that you make sure you tell your accountability partners, call and contact your friends, let them know we are on the air, and weeks to follow, we'll be doing this via Blog Talk Radio. So you don't have to leave the comfort of your home. You can be in your car, on the way home from work, any other variety of things, and still enjoy the fellowship of the church. Enjoy the fellowship of worshiping together via Blog Talk Radio. A different kind of experience, but more of a 21st century kind of experience. And so we ask that you be open spiritually and naturally to this new wave of coming together. And then even though we don't see one another, we will feel the connection through the Holy Spirit as Jesus Christ knits us together as one. And so as we come together on Wednesday at 7 o'clock, it is a church-orientated activity. And so it is encouraged that the church participate. That's how we grow spiritually and we develop the powerful supernatural lifestyle that God intends for us to have. And so this midweek gathering is necessary spiritually. We ought not take it for granted, nor should we take it lightly, because the teaching of the prophet and the apostle are trailblazing teaching, so that when we experience our encounters with God, it is based on a foundational teaching that has opened our minds and enlightened our eyes into the hope of our calling. And so we can't keep trying to go forward remembering and depending on the things of the past. But God said, forget those things that are behind and press toward those things that are ahead. So we desire that you press towards a new encounter with God, a different encounter with God. And honestly, I believe he has made it in such a way that you don't have to do a lot of sacrifice, because you don't have to come out in the rain or in the storm or in the darkness or in the heat during the snow. You know, you have it in the comfort of your home. So why don't you plan weekly to meet us at Blog Talk Radio for Wednesday midweek gathering. Get you some tea or coffee or a nice warm bowl of soup. Get your pencils and your journals out. Get your Bible out. Set up a time to meet us and to be presented in the presence of God, prepared to receive what Holy Spirit has for us. Let this midweek prayer opportunity, praise opportunity, study opportunity, be something that we value as gold. Because in doing that, we receive the inheritance of the kingdom, and we realize what things are really of value as we proceed in our journey, because there's so much that's in our journey that is not valuable, and yet we are dragging it behind us. And so we want to lay aside the weight that so easily beset us and press toward the mark, a new thing, a good thing, with our eyes focused on Christ to see what he will say next. Let us in anxious anticipation long and pant after him, and not ever forsake any opportunity to come in his presence, but to come in his presence with thanksgiving and to worship him and to honor him and to bow to him, because the Lord is holy. And he said he will make us holy. We're so often trying to make ourselves holy by remembering this and doing that and doing the other. He said, no, just come in my presence. My presence will purify you. My presence will purge you. My presence will perfect you. But we have to come to his presence, bow down, surrender, emptied out so that he can fill us up. And that's what this midweek spiritual growth and development is intended to do. So I pray that our hearts will be set on fire to let it go through the church like wildfire, just like the fire that was on the tails of the foxes that Samson set on fire to burn down all of the crops of the Philistines. So let this spread like fire through the sanctuary and infuse new life into its people, and let us come running to our midweek service. Let us come eager for our midweek gathering. Let us come expecting to meet God and to fellowship with one another, so that we might be empowered to link together to do those things that God has established for us to do. We can't go forward until we have released that which we're dragging with us that he does not intend to use, and that we reach with empty, open hands out to him to receive what he has for us. We love the Lord, and we say we love the Lord, but so often we love the Lord we knew of. He has a new name that he needs us to become familiar with so that we can long after him in a new place, in a new time, in a new position, so that we can give him the honor that he desires, not the honor that we want to give him, but the honor that's due him and that he desires from us, because he knows what it's going to take for people to see us, see him through us in this season. This is a dark season. It is a dark age. And sometimes our light was shining, but it wasn't shining that bright. But in this day and age, that light has to so illuminate, because the darkness is spreading, and we have to push back the darkness with the light of Christ. So as we prepare for our teachers to come forth and those who will open us up in prayer, we want to play this ministry song that is ministered to you. Hear the words and surrender to the words. Let no offering of the Lord go unembraced. And this is an offering that individuals have made as they were inspired spiritually to write this song. The song is Ojin from Hillsong, and it speaks of going to a new place, getting a new strength, getting muscles that we didn't have before, getting strength and faith that we didn't have before, because he is causing us to walk on water. So we are going to surrender to the ministry of music, and you get yourself together with your notebooks, your Bible, your pen, get you something to drink. And you know what? You got opportunity to click over and call somebody and tell them, you know what? You better call in the Blog Talk Radio, because the church is gathering. We're gathering in strength and power and expectation of seeing and meeting the Lord in this new way, a 24th century gathering. So we ask you to surrender to this newness. Thank you.
Father, we bless you and we honor you. We glorify you. We thank you that this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will continue to rejoice and be glad in it. We bless you for these, your people who have gathered together for just this time of learning and sharing. God, we thank you for the opportunity to even have new wine and new wineskins. Thank you for the great grace that you are releasing and pouring out upon us. We pray, Father, that even as we come together, that iron with sharpened iron, that we would begin to take a look at where you're taking us from, where you're taking us from, and then where you're taking us to. We thank you that we are instruments, Lord God, that you have set aside and you use for your glory, for the building of your kingdom. We pray, Father God, that or any and everything that would even be a hindrance in our process, we pray, Lord God, that it would be exposed, Lord God, and that our eyes would be open to it. We thank you for faith opportunities. We thank you, Lord, for things that create a greater faith in us, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We're learning to appreciate the process, the struggle, the detours, the pitfalls, and all of those things. Because we're learning to appreciate you. We're learning to honor you and to reverence you. So we bless you for these people who have gathered together. Release upon us what we need to know about new wine and wineskins. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, we are excited about just being able to come together. I know that you all have taken some time to do some life work, and so we definitely want to give you the opportunity to share your life work, to share as you've been looking at new wine and wineskins. I know we've been on this topic a long time, but I believe it's because we haven't fully gotten the wineskin yet. And therefore, we haven't gotten the wine. And what I'm coming to understand about the process is that just like at the wedding when Jesus turned the water to wine, it didn't just bless one group of people. The very thing that the scripture says is that usually they serve the best first. And as the night progresses and people are unaware of what they're drinking because they're already inebriated, it doesn't matter. But in this scenario, Jesus saved the best for last. And so I believe that that becomes important to understand, because in this process, there's some things that he is saving. Or not just saving for the end, but there's some things that he is saving until we learn to savor it. Go on. Oh, until we learn to savor it. The scripture said that we haven't cultivated a taste for him yet. Now it says for the new wine, but that new wine represents him. And so Elder April was sharing some things earlier, and I thought it was interesting because part of what she was sharing indicated to me that we haven't cultivated a taste for the more of God. We want God. We want Jesus. We want the Holy Spirit. And chances are we want more of the Holy Spirit because it's a power thing. But we haven't cultivated a taste yet for the more of God. We don't know what it'll cost us. We're not sure if we want it. It may be something intellectually that we know, and we're sometimes satisfied with the knowledge that we have about it. But he desires for us to cultivate a taste for the more of him, to go deeper. We're people that want to go higher. He wants us to go deeper.
Apostle, and as you were speaking, and you indicated that the wine at the marriage supper affected not just, it affected a lot of people. And so I believe what the Lord is even wanting us to examine the mountains that were represented at that feast, because this was a famous gathering. And so I am sure the the important people from the different areas of influence in that time were present at that gathering. And because that new wine was then being distributed to them, that new wine about Christ. And so that's how we're that new wine about Christ that needs to be distributed into the mountains. I just wondered if we could just reflect on that marriage supper and try to pull out what mountains do you think were there? You know, what people of influence were there that represent the different mountains?
Amen. That's all right. Now, that's definitely a different look at that. I'm not sure who all the entire list of people that we have on the phone. But we definitely want some feedback. Anybody, you know, I think if we think about maybe the family mountain. It was a wedding, so you definitely had some family there. And Jesus' mother made a request of her son, not of her Savior, but of her son. And so understanding the dynamics within that structure. So you definitely had the family mountain there. If they were there and it was a wedding, influential wedding, then you had to have the governmental mountain there only because it would have had to be people of great influence there. Anybody else? Hello?
This is Sister Shannon. I was thinking in terms of all the spectators, the ones that's there just for the entertainment purposes. Yeah, just to come and see, you know, be it your friends or your neighbors or just, you know, your spectators just to see, you know, what type of wedding was this, what was going on, and just even being in the wedding and they're spectating, being a witness of Jesus turning this water into wine, you know, that had to speak mountains, you know, to them, you know, in terms of the Savior turning this water into the wine.
And so his enemies were probably there as well.
Good news had to be media because we looked at it Monday.
So we could see how the media, like you were saying, in the past is always given negative, you know, feedback, negative words, and negative news. And, you know, I'm sure they would love to have started
the gossip, you know, he done ran out of wine. You know, they done had this party and wasn't enough to be very negative. But instead, God turned it around and caused them to have to give a whole different report. Like, he saved the best for last. The last of the wine is the most phenomenal. And that's changing, as Poppy would say, the trajectory.
Oh, my God.
Of even their mindset. So go from declaring bad news to sharing some really powerful good news that they had been exposed to.
I think this whole media mountain and just some of the phenomenal examples that we have been seeing with the woman at the well and this, just seeing how the great impact that we have in changing the report to the glory of God. You know, the scripture says, whose report will you believe? And so there's always those, as Sister Shannon said, they're ready to have conversation in negative. But the Lord, because he makes it work, changed that. And so now Jesus told them, look, I don't want to do this because it's not time yet. And he knew if he performed that miracle that was going to spread. So, great. What other mountain? Media, family, government, religion. What mountains do we have left? Oh, business.
We have business and education left.
Somebody said business and education?
As well as arts and entertainment.
Oh, well, I guess you definitely have arts and entertainment because it was a wedding. It was a feast. It was a celebration. So, amen. So as we're looking at the mountains and of influence that need the taste of the new wine, as leaders of influence on the line, where do you see yourself? The Bible says, oh, taste and see. So how many are we ready to cause people to taste and see through our lives, through our process, so that they can be introduced to these mountains as you represent leaders of influence? So what needs to happen with your wineskin so that you can be this leader of influence for the new wine?
I think, Apostle, if we look at what the mother of Jesus said, she basically gave the instruction. You know, she said, told the people to whatever he says, do it. And that's what we have to know what Jesus says and do it. And I think in a way that we didn't know before, because we're not familiar with it. And so they told them to go get some water pot. You know, well, if you're looking for wine, I don't think you're looking for a water pot. That's water. Okay. So they were asked to do something that didn't seem to make sense. I'm running out of wine, and you tell me to go get some water. And sometimes when God directs us to do things, we reason it with our understanding instead of just obeying it and do it. As Mary said, whatever he tells you, just do it. In other words, don't question it, trust it, believe it, and do it, and your problem will be solved. And so I believe that it was the servant's heart that wanted to be able for their master to continue to serve wine. I didn't want this master to be, embarrassed or shamed or, you know, probably excommunicated if they're people of authority and influence and they ran out of wine at a wedding. I think that would have been a tremendous, social
suicide, if you will, and yet God delivered them from the standard of the world by giving them something through his son that they had no clue how to do. That miracle, that first miracle that changed the life of individuals and exposed them to the power of Christ and gave them a taste, you know, and the wine even representing that which comes out of much stress, you know, because it doesn't become wine until the fruit is pressed and through the wine pressed and pressured and worked. And we have to be ready to be pressed and worked.
Amen. Anybody? Pastor Diane, are you on the line?
Yes, ma'am. I was listening, but I I was looking at the media, and I'm looking at me being part of this media and what I'm seeing. And one thing I noticed was there was no water in the pots because he told them to fill the pots with water. So I'm looking at Holy Spirit saying to me, what is it that you have? Take what you have and speak over it. You know, and when we bless what we have, you know, it may seem like we're empty. And I was looking at going on this mountain, you know, it doesn't always have to be negative. The media can bring out good news, right? Am I looking the wrong way? Because I'm looking at once we enter a place and we receive and we speak God's word over something and we utilize what we have, then we witness on what miraculous miracles that God has used us to do this mighty work. And we don't have to let the world system go out and tell something negative. We can go out on this mountain and give the positive.
Amen. So for those on the line, as leaders of influence, how do you see what is the Lord looking to do with your sphere of influence? What wineskin? Are you able to identify a wineskin that needs to be shared or needs to be removed and upgraded so that you can become this new wineskin for this assignment, for this mountain that Holy Spirit is putting you on, causing you to be this leader of influence?
Hi, Apostle.
Hello.
I think...
Evangelist Katie? Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, yes.
I think simply understanding that there are things in our past and in our now that we can't take to the next level, identify wineskins that need to be shed, old wineskins that need to be shed in lieu of the new thing that God is doing two, through, and four.
All right, so I pray that everybody that's insightful, I pray everybody has had the opportunity to just allow the Holy Spirit to show them or reveal to them the wineskin that, you know, he's working on.
I can give this past Rogers again several. And being bold and being Holy Ghost bold, utilizing wisdom, when to talk, when to not to talk. You know, the new wineskin will give you wisdom. and to be heard rather than being seen. There are so many different, when you go into the next level, if we pay attention and hear and obey the Holy Spirit, you know those things that you're leaving behind. My mom always say, be wise as the serpent, where he knew when to come out of that skin when it was too heavy. So when we're working for the Lord, we listen more so than we talk. I'm learning to really pay more attention and hear what everyone is saying rather than be the one that's talking all the time.
Okay. So with the shifting, as the Lord is recalibrating us and doing it through the exchanging of wineskins and receiving new wine, what assignment is he preparing you for?
Apostle. I'm sorry.
Yes.
Apostle, it's Katie again. This time last year, there were about 83 different things that ended up on my list. And by the time we got to the experience last year, to the leadership portion of it, the Lord allowed us to crush olives to receive the oil that needed to cover those 83 different things. So I find myself a whole year later, and that process is still being worked out. And I think it's an interesting question to understand, why did he reveal all of that at one time? And why has it taken me a year? And I'm still, you know, getting through that process. And then you ask, what is he preparing you for? And I still don't find myself having identified what he's preparing me for, but I do know that all of those 83 different things that he identified can't go with me. And that's why it's taken me a whole year to still be going through this process.
I think that's pretty cool. Thank you for sharing that, because you made the correlation between, you know, this time last year as it related to the pressing of the olives. And so as we are definitely working on the conference now, I felt like that kind of gave some insight in the preparation to do the olive press or to have our Gethsemane experience, as Elder April, a continuation. So with what you said in mind, in collaboration with it being called the Gethsemane experience, so that kind of shifted, because I'm thinking, wow, we're still talking about wineskins. And so it's clearer now. You know, he's just trying to prepare us, you know, as we prepare to even make wine, press the olive. We're not pressing the exact same thing out. We should be pressing something else. We should be the wine, the making of our holy oil should come in tandem with receiving these new wine skins and new wine. So that just kind of gives me a whole elevated vision for that class. And prayerfully, the preparation leading up to it, how do we prepare for all of that at one time? He's going to get it out of us. And if we look at the fact that we press it ourselves, not only is he going to get it out of us, he's going to reveal it to us and then show us how to press it. And what we don't press, he'll make sure it gets pressed. So I'm also thinking of the wine. And again, I can't do, what is it called? Is it the threshing floor? The wine press. I haven't figured out how to have that. We've had it as a wonder, but I haven't figured out how to make it
something we can incorporate. But again, it is the crushing and the pressing that we're going through that, you know, doesn't necessarily feel all that great. I don't know that we're receiving it with joy or if we're counting it all joy. However, our lives are in transition right now, and we're having some experiences that he in turn intends to press some stuff out, crush some stuff. It's labors. Do we ever do anything without talking about the circumcision of the heart? You know, so he intends on cutting out some things. And so as we look at the relationship of all of that, I believe that it begins to speak to where he's taking us. Or where we're being summoned to. Where we're being, not necessarily, he's summoning us. I think we're at a place now, the scripture says, come up hither. You know, the oceans, walking on water. That should become our manner. That should become, and I don't mean norm to take away the holiness and the awesomeness of it, but I mean norm that it becomes what we walk in. So, amen. Anybody else?
Well, one more thing before you move on, Apostle. The one thing that I was reminded of while you were talking is that he has me reading the book Hind Feet on High Places again in this season because, you know, in the valley where I find myself or where I have been, I had to realize, or I am realizing, that I have moved up the mountain at some point. You know, I'm not yet in the valley of fearing anymore. I have moved up the valley, up the mountain, a portion of the mountain now. Not at the top yet, where I'm striving to get to be free from all of this, whatever this is, put it in quotes. And I'm just realizing some different things or different aspects of where I am based on reading this book again.
Amen. Would anybody else like to share?
This is Shannon. I was just in terms of wanted to piggyback off of the old wine and the new now. You know, for me, the thing that God has broken off for me, you know, with the alcoholism, you know, how this thing is just shifting from getting help and receiving help from the world and how he's just allowing me and giving me the leverage to move in it in the church as when we were in the AEN and in the worship service and to have a young lady come in there under the influence of alcoholism, you know, how just my gifts in that area, you know, is just shifting in the church because no one in the church, from my experiences, no one really wants to, you know, say that they had a problem with alcohol or other, you know, different drugs or anything like that, you know, but I see God in that behind it because, you know, for myself, I did so much work on the outside and on the inside of me, you know, where God had to send me. So now he's sending me where I can be of maximum service, you know, to be there to help that lady, to talk with that lady, you know, if she was ready to go turn herself in, I was right there to receive her. You know, so I really just thank God for that, and I just see him moving continuously in that area for me, in that family sector. That's just so important, you know, because I'm pretty sure, you know, children and mothers and fathers are connected to, you know, others' usage and alcoholism and drugism and so forth. So that's what I had to say about that.
Amen. Would anybody else like to share?
I would like to share
where I believe the Lord has taken me to the next level, and I experienced it today with the doctor and the doctor's office. They Pakistani, and basically she was going through stress, and usually they don't allow people to, you know, hug or touch, but I was witnessing about the Lord and what God would do for us. And if we go to him, Yahweh, you know, studying the Quran, you still must know who his son was. And she listened, even to the point when I got home, she called back and thanked me. Whereas before, they didn't discuss their religion. But if we believe, when we're true believers, whether we understand why another person believe what they believe, we just talk about the Lord that we believe in, say what he's done for us, just like the young lady said. If she had the problem with alcohol, then you can identify. If I have a problem with money, I can identify. But surely God has brought us out of some situation where we were in darkness. So I'm just thankful and grateful that I'm going to this marvelous light where you can really have those dreams and visions that, well, I had them as a child. But at some point in life, you know, where you got distracted, and then God will bring you back, because whatever, I believe, whatever God had planned for our life, when we obey, you're going to receive it anyway. But this next level, last year at the experience, I had the circumcised heart, and I know I learned, and I learned that only God could circumcise my heart. I couldn't.
Yeah.
So I'm just believing that whatever happens, if I can surrender, that God say he will do it. And I guess I'm at that point that I'm not going to wrestle and struggle too much. I'm just going to let God do it.
I know that's right. I'm going to stop trying to be God. That's real. It is not working well for me. But I definitely appreciate you all sharing. Thank you, Overseer, for just the creative insight. And just adding another dimension to this, you know, wow, it's going to afford us the opportunity to take this very far and then to see where the Lord is taking us within this scope. So we're going to look at the mountain, we're looking at the wineskin, we're looking at the oil, we're looking at is it called the threshing floor, the crushing of the grapes? Okay. And the wine press, that's the word I was looking for.
We need to look the history of Cana, because he clearly said it was a wedding in Cana, and what that represents, and what were weddings like. Because I think that as these things are presented to us, we read these stories, these miracles, these parables, and these encounters. But sometimes we don't have a full understanding of the environment that they happen in, so that we can really understand the impact that they had. And so just understanding what marriages were like, a marriage where they had that sort of thing, a marriage was like 2 or 3 days. It wasn't just one day. And there's so many implications of the activity of the miracles in the life of the people that were there. And we don't understand, because we don't understand what people were there. What people go to wedding. And what we look at, why did Mary, you know, intervene with the Son of God for their marriage? You know, because it is important. Why was marriage a part of the first miracle? And marriage was a part of the first command, the first covenant that God made with his people. And so there's so much in there that we read these things. Oh, yeah, I know about the wedding of Cana. We need to dig into it and see what other revelation God will give us about that one event. And so often we do want to, you know, lion's mane, okay, we've been doing it for a long time, but he's saying, no, there's go and to surrender to him so that he can then reveal his mystery. And so I do think that, you know, we need to make part of our life work, to, you know, because that is a miracle that most people love. That's one they point out is one that they like sharing. I think we just need to look even more close to it and get revelation from God as it relates to
it. Amen. Amen. Let us take all that into consideration as we prepare for next Wednesday. So the scripture that we're making reference to is John, the second chapter, the first through the 11th verse. John, the second chapter, the first through the 11th verse. And so I would encourage you to see if any of the synoptic, if any of the synoptic gospels picked it up. And I think that is going to be interesting. Definitely look to see if any of the synoptic gospel picked it up. And if they did, who? And if they didn't, why not? Why and why not? I've enjoyed this. So, amen. Thank you all for being an interactive class. I hope we were able to hear from everybody. If you're ever on the line and you are saying something, but it doesn't seem like we hear you, we probably don't. So text Overseer or myself to let us know you came on. Make me live. You came on, make me live. So we appreciate you all and enjoy the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and I look forward to class on next Wednesday. Bye-bye for now. We're not leaving. We're hanging out. Good night. Class is over.